The fourth Sunday in Lent. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave girl and the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory. For these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem, which is from above, is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that dost not bear. Break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are children of promise, as Isaac was. And as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is as now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the slave girl shall not be heir with the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place, and the men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. And when they had their fill, he said to the disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come to take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain himself alone. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, St. John is very careful to point out that the Feast of the Passover was near, because this multiplication of the loaves and the fishes is like the intermediate. It's not like, it is the intermediate between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. If you recall, in St. John chapter 6, later on, he institutes, or he talks about the Eucharist, about giving us his flesh. My flesh is food indeed. And so this miracle is, it represents our transition from the Old to the New Covenant. Now, when he does it, the multitude, why are they following him? They really don't understand what's going on. All they know is they gave him some free food, and so they want to make him king. Why are they following him before? Because he did the miracles. He healed them. He's giving them, he's helping them in this way. And so they are following him because they're getting stuff from him. He's doing these miracles. He's multiplying the bread, just like Moses, actually greater than Moses. And so they want to make him king. They say, is this not the prophet? Not a prophet, but the prophet. This is a reference to an Old Testament prophecy where God says that he will give us a prophet like Moses, greater than Moses. If you recall, Moses was both a prophet. Now remember, all the other prophets in the Old Testament, they were not the leaders. There was the king, and then there was the prophet, and then usually they were at loggerheads oftentimes. But Moses was both the leader and he was a prophet. And so that's why when they see him, they say, is this not the prophet? And so then they recognize he's not just a prophet, but he's like Moses, and they want to make him king, like Moses was. But they're just thinking materially. They're thinking carnally. They're thinking with their flesh. He gave them food. He heals them. And that's all they're really interested in. But Christ then sees them, of course, and he flees. For this is not the time in which he will be king. The people don't make him king. The Father makes him king. And he's king even now in this gospel. So, but they're looking for this carnal desire. They want to fulfill this. And, you know, the Jews in the Old Testament, St. Paul talks about the two covenants, the one of the slavery and then the one of the free. The Old Covenant was a covenant of slavery. And if we remember back when the Jews, during the Passover, they left Egypt, the land of slavery, passed through the Red Sea, and were in the wilderness, the Sinai, which they resided for 40 years. And while they were there, they rebelled against Moses and God. Why? Because of their carnal desires. They remembered how good they had it back in Egypt, or what they thought they had, how good they thought they had it. They said, we had meat back there, we had good food. You brought us into this wilderness to die. He gave us this bread, which they didn't want, the manna. They didn't want that, the miraculous bread. They wanted the meat that they had as slaves. And so they rebelled against God. Why? Because of their carnal desires. Now, it's important for us to remember this, because those of us who are saved, who have been baptized, this is also a struggle for us. The Gentiles around us, the non-Christians, live this life, the life of fulfilling every carnal desire. And that is a great temptation for us to look to them and to want to live that life. Some of us came out of that life through a conversion. Some of us were fortunate to never have lived that life. But we shouldn't look to them in envy. Think about the sins they commit or the life they can live. It's important for us to realize this, because sometimes people think that, well, this doesn't really affect me, or this affects other people. The concupiscence of the flesh, the desire for fleshy things, the carnal desire, affects everyone. This is the sin that caused the fall. The desire for that fruit, the carnal desire. It was good. Eve looked upon it. She saw it was good and took it. And this is the sin that began the fall. We didn't fall until Adam fell, but it was the beginning. And so we have to remember this. And so there are all different kinds of carnal sins. You know, a few weeks ago, I talked about pornography. That is just one aspect. There is many sins in just inordinate desire this way. You know, our Lord gives thanks for the bread and the fish. How many times do people not give thanks for the food we receive, the donut? I don't look at people over there, but you know, the donut and coffee hour. Do we say a little thanks, even if it's internal, of receiving that from God? That is a venial sin or an imperfection if we don't do that, to give thanks. Our Lord gives us that example. You know, there are also other types of sins when we eat too fast. You know, teenage boys oftentimes wolf down their food too fast. Also to eat too much. You know, I think that's a difficulty today, in today's world. Also, to be too concerned about actually what we're eating. To only want this type of ketchup. Somebody got the wrong kind of ketchup. Or the apples. You've got the wrong kind of apples. Or I like my meal prepared precisely this way. You've overcooked my steak. Or this is the wrong kind of bread. Or the eggs are a little too runny. Or maybe a little too hard. These type of things are also sins along this line. We forget about this. Or what about rare ingredients or something? I only use pink Himalayan salt. Sorry, that white stuff just won't do. These are sins. Or, you know, I got to have this specific ingredient. We got to jet it in from South America. Otherwise, it's ruined. Now, it's important to realize that I'm not saying you can't have a favorite type of ketchup or that you can't enjoy your steak done a specific way, but it's when it becomes inordinate. Now, most of these type of sins, actually all these sins, are only venial sins at worst. When it becomes mortal sin is when that leads to something else. When you berate someone, you got the wrong kind of apple. How many times did I have to tell you, golden delicious, not Granny Smith? The anger is the mortal sin, but it's based upon this inordinate desire. That's the mortal sin. It's usually not the in this regard. Now, I guess I should say, when you eat so much that you get physically sick, that's a mortal sin. Especially when you're physically sick and then you take some more, then that's a sin. And also, like the Romans who would practice the vomitorium, right? They would eat and eat and eat, and then they'd go and they'd go in the back and then they'd come out so they could eat more. That's the mortal sin in this regard. Now, we don't want to confuse that again with anorexia. That's a psychological issue. But these are all sins. Also, it should be pointed out that being wasteful. Our Lord sent around the 12 baskets. Why? So that the bread would not be wasted. To be wasteful. Oh, the rice is a little dry. Let's throw it away. It's past its prime. Well, is it really bad, or is it just because you don't want to eat the rice because it's a little bit dry? Just put some soy sauce on it or something. If you have the right brand, I guess. I don't know. Okay. So these are all sins. But now we should also look at other sins, that the more serious sins along this line of the carnal desire, inordinate carnal pleasure, concupiscence of the flesh, alcohol and drugs. Same thing, inordinate desire for that bodily pleasure. It's okay to have a few drinks, but drunkenness is a mortal sin. If you feel it in the morning, you probably committed a mortal sin. Now, the difference is if you say in the beginning, oh, I want to drink, you know, and get drunk, then in the beginning, immediately, you committed the mortal sin. Although usually in regards to alcohol, someone has one, someone has another, and then they begin to lose judgment a little bit, right? So, oh, I can have another, and then another, and then before you know it, they're kind of schnockered. And then that is not, you know, that's gravely sinful, but they didn't specifically choose to do it usually in that regard. And I guess you should say, and then if you're drinking and then you do something else, like drive a vehicle, that can also be gravely sinful, but that's a different category of sin. So, and also drugs. The reason why under these situations of food and drink, the mortal sin comes when you cease to use your reason, when your reasoning is lost. That's why usually just eating, it's hard to do that. But for drugs, it's very easy. This is why usually alcohol is considered the last legitimate drug, and then you have harder drugs. Why? Because just one usage, you lose your reasoning. You get, you know, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And that's why these are mortally sinful. And this includes marijuana. Marijuana for just recreational purposes, because it's considered you lose control of reason. And it is sinful. Now, also, we can talk about prescription drugs, abusing prescription drugs. You have an old, prescription Vicodin in the cabinet. You're having a hard day, and that's a mortal sin to take that, because you're losing your reason to just to try to unwind. You're not really taking it for pain purposes. So it would be just like getting drunk. You want to just forget about things for a while. That's a mortal sin. Now, of course, these harder drugs, and then, you know, we have illicit drugs, which hopefully everybody realizes are mortally sinful. But now, oftentimes, there is an addiction aspect. Someone can be addicted to prescription painkillers, and then the addiction can lessen the culpability, but it doesn't make the offense any less. Remember, sometimes we think, it's only a venial sin, it's not a big deal. No, it's gravely sinful. You're only guilty lightly because you're addicted, but it's still gravely offensive to God. And then there's also ramifications within the family, which these things can destroy the family. And so we have to recognize this. Now, oftentimes people ask me about tobacco. Is tobacco sinful, or they think tobacco is a mortal sin? Actually, under this aspect of fleshy desire and fleshy pleasure, no, it's not. It becomes gravely sinful if you're addicted, and you know it has bad health benefits if you smoke 2 packs a day, but you're addicted. But that can be serious because you're destroying your health. Or gravely sinful if the money you're spending on that is coming out of your need to overspend on that. Then, but that's not really the same thing. That's a different category of sin, but it is gravely sinful then. It's okay to have a cigar every now and then, have a pipe, or even have a cigarette every now and then. It's not politically correct to say that, but, you know, this is the truth. It's okay. It's when you become addicted, or when you really can't afford it, or when you know you're destroying your health, but you're continuing. So this is the rule on all these type of things. And so there is another category of these carnal desires, the concupiscence of the flesh, and that is impurities. I talked about pornography a few weeks ago, but also we should just look at everything just in a general way here. Anytime there is this inordinate desire for that pleasure, and that could be anything, and in any way, by yourself or with another, this is mortally sinful. Every sin against the sixth commandment is a mortal sin in its nature. And so this can include, bringing in some manufactured item into the marital act, either to prevent conception or for some other reason to try to increase things there. This is gravely sinful. This is an inordinate desire for that pleasure. We have to recognize this. The Gentiles, the non-Christians in our society practice these things all the time. It's now common. It is perfectly accepted to practice all these things in our society. But we have to stay clean from it. Concupiscence of the flesh is the original beginning of our fall. The inordinate desire for that apple, for that fruit. Eve looked upon it and she saw that it was good. And she inordinately took it. And so we have to be careful on this. This is why mortifications of eating and drinking are very powerful. This is why the church has always practiced some kind of penance in terms of eating, either fasting or abstaining. Why? Because just like the punishment fits the crime, the penance fits the crime also. Our race fell because of this, or the beginning of the fall, I guess I should say. It's not the sin of Eve, it was the sin of Adam. But it was the beginning, was because of this inordinate concupiscence of the flesh. And so our penance along this lines has a greater power to help us to become holy. This is why we try to practice fasting. This is why the church requires abstinence during Lent. So, this inordinate carnal desire. The Jews in the Old Testament, they were free from the slavery of Pharaoh. And yet, while they were in the wilderness, They didn't want to eat the bread that was given to them. They wanted to go back to their slavery. They looked at that and they wanted it. We had meat in our pots and we had water and things were good back then. The Jews in the time of Christ, they were only interested in him because he was healing them and he was feeding them. Again, this inordinate desire. That we need to be separated from that attitude. Is not our treasure here? The Jews said, we don't want that bread. We want the bread in Egypt. This is the bread that Christ gives us. And this should be the center of our life. This is what we should desire, is to be fed by the bread of angels. And so, as St. Paul says in the epistle, cast out the slave girl and her son. For the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So we should cast out these inordinate desires of the flesh. Christ set us free. And so we should live that way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.